After our service, as you know, we're going to have our annual Thanksgiving luncheon. It's one of my favorite, It's one of my favorite activities that we do each year. And in a few weeks, as a nation, we will be celebrating the actual holiday of Thanksgiving. However, in the hustle and bustle of our culture with parades, sports, football games, basketball, and the overall secularizing of the holiday, the actual point for the celebration often gets lost. Thanksgiving is an officially recognized day that our nation has set aside to thank the God of the Bible for the many blessings that we have, for His goodness, His provision, and of course, His faithfulness. Even people who do not recognize the God of the Bible still benefit from God's blessings on this nation. And while I can't fault an unbeliever for not acknowledging or thanking God on Thanksgiving, it is sad when Christians get so caught up in the food, the activities, and the frenzy of the day that we forget to thank our Lord for all that He has done. While we should be doing this every day, many believers, in fact, do not pause to do it at all, even at Thanksgiving. So before we have this big lunch and enjoy some great fellowship, for a few moments this morning, I want to talk about gratitude and what it reminds us about God. The message is entitled The Importance of Gratitude, and to this idea, I have 3 points. So to the first point, gratitude reminds us of God's goodness. Psalm 103, verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." So David is speaking to his own soul, urging himself to worship and remember God's goodness. The phrase "bless the Lord" means to praise and honor God with a heartfelt gratitude. "O my soul" shows that this is not some shallow praise, but deep personal worship from within. And the command, "forget not all His benefits," warns against spiritual forgetfulness, which is a tendency to overlook God's blessings after receiving them. Gratitude is not just a proper response to God, it is, but it's spiritual recall. When David says, "forget not," he is reminding us that our hearts can easily drift towards ungratefulness when we lose sight of God's past faithfulness. Every blessing, salvation, provision, health, relationships is a testimony of His goodness. James 1:17 says that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, talking about God the Father. And James can only say this because God is absolutely good. There is no evil in Him whatsoever. The psalmist writes in Psalm 107, verse 1, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." So gratitude turns our eyes from what we lack to who we have. That is the God of all goodness. Gratitude shifts focus from what's missing to what God has provided, helping us to see His faithfulness, mercy, and love in every blessing. Point two, gratitude replaces worry and worship with worship. Gratitude replaces worry with worship. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, if you want to turn there in your Bibles, feel free to. We'll be camped here for just a few moments. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. This passage is, I've shared this many times, this is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. I have it highlighted, I have it circled, I have a little asterisk by it so I can find it easy. And I'm always reminded of it when I'm flipping past those pages. I see it. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. It reads, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So Paul is writing to the Philippian church around AD 61. He is imprisoned in Rome as he writes this letter. Yet the letter's dominant tone is joy in Christ despite suffering. Let me just ask you a question this morning that may touch on something deep. Can we say that we remain joyful when things are bleak? Have circumstances caused us to lose our joy? Has failing health caused us to lose our joy? Has the loss of someone we love caused us to lose our joy in life? These things are hard things. They are difficult seasons to go through, but our circumstances are not the source of our joy. When things get better, when they happen to get better, they cause us to be happy. That's where the word happy comes from. It's happenstance. It has to deal with random luck, if you will. Happenstance. Do good things make us happy, or is our joy found deeper in Jesus Christ? Has the lack of joy caused the smile to be wiped from our hearts as well as our face? Then we are looking in the wrong place for our joy. Let's look at this verse a little deeper. Look at the first little phrase. Do not be anxious. The anxious comes from a Greek word called merimneo, and it means to be pulled apart in different directions. That's what anxiety means in the Bible. To be pulled apart in different directions. Anxiety divides the mind between trust and fear. And Paul is not forbidding legitimate concern, but he is condemning worry that doubts God's care or forgets God's care, if you will. Look at the next phrase. In everything by prayer, prosuke, and supplication, desis, with thanksgiving. That word thanksgiving comes from the word eucharistio. We get our biblical word Eucharist, which is the Lord's Supper that we take once a month here. It's called, in Catholic circles, it's often called the Eucharist. Here at church, in Protestant churches, we call it the Lord's Supper. But it comes from this word of thanksgiving. So prayer, the word prayer, is a broad term. It means worshipful communication. When we are praying and communicating with Father, the Father, we are actually worshiping Him. And it focuses on relationship and reverence. The word supplication emphasizes a need or a petition, bringing specific burdens before God. Thanksgiving, the Eucharistia. This is the act of acknowledging God's goodness before getting the answer. I'll say that again. The way this word is placed in the context of this verse, it is the act of acknowledging God's goodness before getting the answer. We've often talked about praying by faith, thanking the Lord as we pray, thanking Him, Lord, for what we will receive in response to our prayers. This reveals faith in His character, though, not necessarily in outcomes. And notice how Paul connects thanksgiving directly to peace. Anxiety and gratitude cannot coexist in the same heart. When we choose gratitude, we dethrone worry. And instead of being consumed by what might go wrong, we remember the God who is always right on time. The God who will never leave us nor forsake us. The God who walks with us through the fires. Gratitude transforms our prayer. Prayers change from begging God to trusting Him. When we say thank you, God, even before the answer comes, we show faith in His character. The peace that surpasses all understanding is not found in the absence of problems, but in the presence of a thankful heart, that no matter the circumstance, God is with us. And that brings us to the third point this morning. Gratitude reflects Christ in us. Flip over in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I don't hear pages turning. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Such a beautiful sound. I always think of the wind of the Holy Spirit blowing when pages of the Bible are turning. So it reads, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, written in AD 50 to 51, is among his earliest writings, addressed to a young church facing persecution. But now in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, Paul gives rapid-fire exhortations that describe what a spirit-filled, watchful community looks like as it awaits Christ's return. Here's the slide of the 3 points of verses 16, 17, and 18. Rejoice always. Then pray without ceasing. And then give thanks in all circumstances. These three form a portrait of a mature believer that is waiting for Christ to come any moment. Let's look at the word get. So let's go back to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and we're going to look at just that verse in this passage. Look at the word give thanks. This is a command. It's called the imperative. It's in a form where this is not optional. This is what we are called to do. This is the will of God. And it calls for continuous, habitual thanksgiving. And aside from being in the command form, it is in the present active. Like, this is what we are to be doing right now, and it is to have no end. The root word of this, of thanks, is charis. That simply means grace. We get, again, I talked about a few moments ago, the Eucharist. The Eucharist, it comes from the word grace. And it literally means to respond to grace. Give thanksgiving for grace. It's been a little while since we've hung up this definition on our screen. But if you'll remember, that grace is God's supernatural assistance, helping us accomplish what we could not otherwise do on our own. It's often God lifting the heavy end. You remember the illustration maybe last year of if we were moving a piano downstairs. There is a heavy end and there is a light end. The heavy end is below. The weight of the piano is moving that way. The lighter end is the one on top. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they have the heavy end. That's a picture of God's grace. We're not going to get this piano down the stairs. Oh, we might, but it won't play anymore. But God's grace is helping us get it down. That's a picture of God's grace and how it works. Sometimes we get mercy and grace mixed up, those two words. Mercy is receiving something that we didn't deserve. But grace is God's supernatural assistance to help us accomplish something by His strength that we could not otherwise do on our own. Gratitude, therefore, is not situational. It is the reflex, the natural reflex of recognizing God's grace in every circumstance. It's just we began to have eyes that represent, that are looking for God's grace in all that we do. And in those moments, we're like, oh, thank you, God. Thank you. This week, I left my phone somewhere. It wasn't a big deal. I would eventually have found it after I probably missed 30 calls. And he put the thought in my head exactly where I left it. And I thought, oh yeah. And I went back and I go, thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you for helping me find my phone. That's living with a heart of gratitude. And as we begin to see God's grace and begin to thank him, we're going to recognize his goodness more and more, how he is actively present every day in our life. So, Paul does not, notice here the phrase, in all circumstances. Now, I just want to kind of, for our scholars in here, I want to take a moment to go kind of deep in this. Here it reads, in all things. Paul does not command thanksgiving for evil, pain, or injustice. Rather, within them. This verse teaches thankfulness as obedience. Gratitude here is an act of faith, not feeling. Paul isn't saying that every circumstance is good. He's saying that God is good within every circumstance. Thanking him in trials declares trust that his providence outweighs the pain. It's worship that resists bitterness. The believer learns to anchor joy in who God is, not what happens. However, in Ephesians 5:20, Paul writes, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So notice here in the verse in Ephesians 5:20, it says to thank God for all things. This goes beyond simply enduring a tough situation to embracing divine purpose. When we thank God for all things, we recognize that nothing escapes his control. Even suffering becomes a tool for sanctification. Gratitude here comes from understanding that everything filtered through God's hands serves an eternal purpose that is good. And Romans 8:28 says that. So the apparent contradiction is actually no contradiction at all. The two verses speak of different reasons for gratitude. In Thessalonians, it speaks to God's presence with us in all circumstances. In Ephesians 5:20, it speaks to yielding to God's purpose for all things. So back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. So what are we thanking him for in 1 Thessalonians? Is that he is with us in our circumstances, and thus we can thank him. Now look at the phrase, for this is the will of God. This refers to the entire trio of rejoice, pray, and giving thanks. God's will is not merely a moral duty, but a divine design for our spiritual health. Gratitude aligns the believer with God's will. Then finally, look at in Christ Jesus for you. This type of thanksgiving is possible only in Jesus Christ. A relationship with him, not religionship, a relationship with him reorients our perspective. And instead of reacting to circumstances, we respond through Christ's grace and strength because it is in us and not our own. And that is the grace working in us. As mentioned earlier, authentic gratitude is not dependent on circumstances. It's rooted in Christ. And when we give thanks in all things, not necessarily for all things. We reveal a deep trust that God is working even in what we can't see with our eyes. Jesus himself modeled this. He gave thanks before feeding the 5,000 and even before going to the cross at the Last Supper. He gave thanks before these things. A thankful spirit stands out in a complaining world. It is one of the clearest marks of a Christian next to love as we express through gratitude a faith that can't be rattled. People notice when we respond to hardship with peace and praise. It testifies that Christ lives in us. So as we conclude this message today, God loves our gratitude. He loves it when we practice thankfulness amongst ourselves, but especially with him. When we fail to be grateful, we can become selfish, thinking that others exist to serve us, including God, that he's our genie in the bottle. Whenever we want something, we just rub it and he comes out, "What are your three wishes?" When we express gratitude, however, we humble ourselves, and humility prevents pride from taking root. It is a posture of worship. As mentioned, when we are grateful, we complain less. In the Old Testament, Miriam, Moses' sister, she began to complain about Moses' leadership and the decisions that he was making regarding a wife. Subsequently, her complaints were heard by God. As is all complaining, murmuring, gossip, and slander, and she became cursed with leprosy. Another instance of complaining is the Israelites in the wilderness. Despite witnessing numerous miracles during and after their exodus from Egypt, the Israelites frequently complained about their circumstances. They weren't thankful. In Exodus 16, 2 through 3, it reads that the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, saying, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, where we sat by pots of meat and ate our fill of bread." They have short-term memory loss here, is evident. Their existence in Egypt was harsh to the point where they were crying out to God for a deliverer, come save them. But we tend to forget the bad things. If only we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, where we sat by pots of meat and ate our fill of bread. But you have brought us into this wilderness to starve this whole assembly to death. This persistent ingratitude demonstrated a lack of thankfulness for God's provision. And it caused them to complain and ultimately led to severe consequences, including a prolonged journey in the wilderness and the denial of entry into the promised land for an entire generation. We are told that in Numbers 14, 26 through 20. A simple heart of thankfulness may have changed everything for them. So let me list a few ways that we can show gratitude. These are just a few simple ways, then I'm going to have some practical application here in just a moment. When we tithe, we don't talk about tithing much in the church anymore. We have a little white church back there that where people just go in and put their tithes. We stopped doing that during COVID. And we found out that God's resources grew in here as we quit taking an offering. It's kind of amazing. I was challenged with that by GW, last name, Greer, over in Homer. I asked him about their big, beautiful building, you know. I said, "Wow, where did you get the funds?" He goes, "It's strange. But when we stopped taking up an offering, suddenly our resources began to grow. And we had more money. We just paid this off. Built it, paid it off right there with cash. And so he kind of challenged me to think. At the time before COVID, I didn't have the nerve to do it. In fact, I didn't know if I had the faith or the confidence in the Lord. But he kind of forced us to not pass the tray so we don't pass germs from hand to hand. And funny thing, God began to bless us, bless our socks off, and just began to bless us with resources. And he continues to do. So I was like, God, I got the hint. And I have taught on tithing because tithing is a blessing that comes to us. But I don't talk about it too much because I just let God move on people's hearts as he will. And he continues to bless us. So when we tithe, it is more an act of obedience. It is a gesture of gratitude and trust for God's provisions and blessings. In fact, God says to test him at it. When we worship, it is to be with hearts of gratitude, not merely a musical activity. It blesses God to sing him songs with grateful hearts. When we fellowship and eat, like we will do here in just a few moments, it is to be with a heart of gratitude. God loves it when we gather in unity. He hates division and divisive tongues, but he blesses unity. And as we eat and thank him for his goodness, and we eat as good little children and boys, good little children of the Father, it blesses him because it is we are doing it in hearts of gratitude. When we get up in the morning, we can be grateful for the gift of life, the bed we slept in, the heat in our homes and the food in our bellies, running water and clean water, etc. Not everybody in this nation or this world has these things. Again, God loves it when we thank him for provision. We have so much for which to be grateful, even amid hard circumstances. Please remember this and practice gratitude, not just every day, but in all circumstances and especially at Thanksgiving. Look, if your people are about to eat and you haven't thanked God, be the one. Stop the party. Stop the party. Just go, whoa, wait. Can we thank God for the food that we're about to eat? I'm telling you, you'll get a better response than you think. Be that person so everyone can join you in thanking God. And for those of you who like scientific studies, gratitude correlates with better health outcomes, specifically in older adults with or related to heart or cardiovascular disease issues. There is an observable lower mortality risk in those who practice gratitude. It's proven. Gratitude is also associated with better mental health and improved behavioral outcomes among people with chronic diseases. Now, for those of you who desire to have more belief and faith, gratitude helps with unbelief as it shifts focus from self to God, which directly counters unbelief. Unbelief often grows from doubt, fear, or fixation on circumstances. Thankfulness retains the mind to remember God's faithfulness, provision, and past answers, reinforcing trust and thus increasing more belief. So here's our takeaways. I just got three little points and we're done. The first is, here's what we can do to begin practicing gratitude. Begin each day by listing three specific things God has done. Speak them aloud. And as you rehearse God's goodness, your joy and confidence in him will also rise. The second is, every time fear, anxiety, or frustration rises, stop and thank God for what he's already done. Say it out loud, and gratitude will turn panic into praise. Finally, the third is practice visible gratitude. Publicly praise God for small blessings. Gratitude is contagious. Your thankfulness can lead others to seek the source of your joy. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. And I will also bless the food. And so we can head right out the doors. There, I believe the food table will have two sides that we can move down. So one here and one there. And as we begin to move down, I would like, if we could, to let our seniors go first so that they can begin to move, and then followed by the families, but followed by everybody else. Let's just let our seniors go through first. And in fact, our seniors, would you like to start moving towards the table as we wind up and pray? If not, that's okay. But feel free to start going that way. I am not walking as fast as I once did, that's for sure. And Father, we thank you for the encouragement to have gracious hearts, the encouragement to be thankful in all circumstances, to be thankful for your purpose. Everything we go through has a purpose. We may not see it, but we can be thankful because you are good. That purpose is good. We can be thankful in all things because we're not alone. You are with us. We don't go through these things alone. You will never leave us nor forsake us. Your presence is here and goes with us. Father, I thank you for all those that are here. And those that couldn't make it today, Lord, may they be reminded to go back and listen to this message. We still have a few weeks before Thanksgiving, so there's plenty of time to start building hearts of gratitude and thankfulness. And speaking of thankfulness, Lord, I thank you for the meals that we are about to eat, the fellowship that we are about to enjoy. Father, I pray that you would bless the hands that have prepared every item out there, that have prepared the arrangements in the gym. God, I thank you for this church that we can gather here and we have the facilities in the room to join in celebrations and festivities. God, bless the food to the nourishment of our body. We thank you for your provision, for providing it all. For you are a good God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy. Please don't try to hurry out here today. Stay as long as you like.